Under brethren, if I could follow what our brother has said and give a little thought on the subject of fruit bearing. In our reading, we had the verses quoted in Ezekiel 15, I think, that a vine is no good unless it produces fruit. And unless we produce fruit in this seed, that is our object. We've already had mention that fruit is the reproduction of the life of Christ seen in the believer. What a tremendous thought was brought out a few moments ago in relation to the person of the Lord as he moved through this scene. God took delight in him. The possibility is that God can take delight in you and I as we move through this scene. And my thoughts went, what are the conditions best suitable for growing vines? Could we just read one verse or a few verses in the book of Numbers? It's Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 13, verse 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan. Verse 21. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as they then came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahimaaz, Shealtiel, and Timel, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Here I think we see before us the ground which is suitable for growing grapes. Here we have before us the largest bunch of grapes that I think any of us has ever seen or read about. And it was in this place called Hebron. And I understand that Hebron means fellowship. You know, if we are to produce fruit for God, it can only be that we are in fellowship with God. I know that every one of us, as born again, are in the fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 9, God is faithful who has called us to the fellowship of his dear Son. But are we practically living in that fellowship? Are we practically living our lives in communion with the Lord? It's even more interesting to notice that there is a comment made in our authorized version. It's in brackets. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. This place in Egypt is where God did his miracles. Many mighty miracles were done in Zoan in Egypt. We read of the princes of this place. It comes to naught. And beloved, this world and all its wisdom is going to come to absolutely nothing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us, the princes of this world, which had they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But Hebron was something that was built 7 years. Seven, can we not say, is the number that speaks of completeness. And Hebron had been, as it were, in the mind and will of God before ever this world was brought into being. We have those verses before us already from Ephesians. It was in those past eternal councils that we were chosen in Christ. That God should desire that there should be a company, not only with his beloved Son, but like his beloved Son. And that will take place, no doubt, in the future day, when we will be with him and like him. But the possibility is that at this present moment, the features of the Lord Jesus would be seen as we move through this scene. What a wonderful thing it is then to move through this scene in fellowship with divine people, the divine persons. And that will be where these grapes will be developed, where this fruit will be seen. Brother read from the 13th chapter of Genesis. And if we turn to this chapter, we find a mention again of Hebron. The last verse of Genesis 13 says, "Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plains of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord." It seems to me that it took a while for Abraham to arrive at Hebron. In chapter 12, we read there, "The Lord had said unto Abraham, Get out of thy country and of thy kindred and from thy father's house." And yet we know that this took place in Mesopotamia. Acts 7 verse 1, "The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham while he dwelt in Mesopotamia." And it seems to me that while Abram was in Mesopotamia, he did move, but the principal mover was his father. We read at Terah, verse 31 of the previous chapter, "And Terah took Abram his son, and Lot his son, son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his wife, to go forth out of the land of Canaan, to go forth out of there of the Chaldeans, to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there." Here we see that it is not the man moving according to faith, but we see it as a man moving according to his own mind. It is not Abram the leader, it's his father. And when they get to Haran, they stop. And in Haran, Terah died. And then it seems to me that Abram once again remembers the words that God had said to him in Ur of the Chaldees, and he moves forward. And he moves forward with his nephew, Lot. But you know, the great problem with Lot was he had much cattle. The great problem with Abram was he had much cattle. And where did he obtain those cattle? It's a remarkable verse. It's the fifth verse. "And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and all the souls that they had gotten in Haran." In that land, when they stopped, there was no doubt much earthly blessing, and they had received this in that land. But in this next chapter, we find that that only brought sorrow, not only to Abraham, but eventually to Lot. And it is not until Lot had separated from Abraham that Abraham finally reaches Hebron. You know, in our lives, we think we know better, and we think that there are certain things that we can get away without obeying what God has said. But we will never reach Hebron until we have obeyed what God has said. What God has said unto Abraham was, "Get out from thy country." It has been said the country would speak of politics. "Get from thy kindred," the social sphere, "and from thy father's house," the family world. And often these are the things that we find hardest to get away from. But we need, if we are to enjoy what we've seen at Hebron, to be separated from this world. And that's why that verse in John 12 hit me very forcibly when reading through the chapters that are before us. Unless we acknowledge that this world is a judge system, we will never enter into these wonderful chapters that are before us. It wasn't until Abraham had obeyed fully what God had said. And some of it, no doubt, as we think of Lot, very often we think of the downward decision of Lot. But it must have been a grief to Abraham to allow his nephew to go. But until he had obeyed, he never reached Hebron. And when he got to Hebron, we find in chapter 14 there is power. In chapter 15, we find that there is God's blessing to him. In chapter 16, and mark you, this is one of the things which is liable to happen. There is this temptation, there is these trials that come our way. Hebrews tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we are prepared to occupy these heavenly places, there will be the temptations, there will be the trials that Satan brings before us. We'll get into chapter 18, in that same place in the plains of Mamre. What a wonderful position Abram is in. He's in a position where he can intercede on behalf of others. You know how we value the prayers of the saints. One of the saints rang me up a little while ago and said, well, the least we can do is pray for you. I said, that's not the least, because that is the best thing you can do. You know, beloved, what a wonderful privilege we have to be able to occupy the place of Hebron, to be able to pray on behalf of others. Is not this a feature that the Lord Jesus did when he was here? As recorded in Luke's Gospel, when he says to Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, and I have prayed for you. What a wonderful Savior we've got. And if we want to follow him, we have a great opportunity to pray for the brethren. There's much sorrow, much difficulties in the assemblies, in our families, and in all our associations. You know what a grand thing it is to pray. We might not be able to minister, we might not be able to do a great deal, but we can pray. Not only for those that are our brethren, but we find that Abraham not only prayed for Lot, but I think his desire would have gone out towards those that were in Sodom. And how we can spread out our prayers to all that are in this world. As we pray for the work of the gospel, and not only as we pray for the work of the gospel, but as we pray as they were exhorted to in Timothy, for kings and for rulers and for those that are in authority. And surely that is one of the features of the Lord Jesus. And as we pray, is that not some of the fruit that will be for God? But finally, there's one more scripture. It's in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua 14 and verse 13. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord. Who are the people that are going to be able to enjoy Hebron? I simply suggest that those that enjoy Hebron will be those that have wholly followed the Lord. This statement is three times in our chapter. You'll notice in verse 9, in verse 8, it is Joshua, Caleb who speaks. He says, I wholly follow the Lord. And in verse 9, it is Moses who speaks, or who is being quoted, thou hast wholly followed the Lord. In the verse that we read, it is Joshua who speaks, thou hast wholly followed the Lord. But you know, in Numbers, we could have read on in chapter 14. We read there that God could say of Caleb, he has wholly followed me. The challenge surely comes to each one of us. You think we've already spoken of the Apostle Paul as one who could say, be imitators or followers of me. Surely at the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he said something very akin to this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I wonder if every one of us here could, if we come to the end of our life down here, could we say these words, I have wholly followed the Lord. But the man, the lady, that wholly follows the Lord are the ones that can have Hebron. Isn't that wonderful to see that Caleb, in spite of his age, in spite of the years that were growing on him, he could say, I'm as strong today as the day I went into the land. And Hebron becomes the inheritance of Caleb. I think if we turn over to another. Chapter 15. In chapter 15, it says, Caleb, verse 14, Caleb drove thence the three sons. In Hebron, there were those things that we need to drive out. And perhaps if we are to enjoy the wonderful blessings that God has for us, we see that the enemy is there. And it is only a man who has wholly followed the Lord who has the capability of driving out these men. If you look at the meanings of their names, as far as I have here, the first one means free. The second one, brother of man. And the third one, bold. You know, we find that this is what is all around us, not only in the world, but in Christendom at large. How many people will quote scripture to us and will tell us that we ought not to be so narrow? We ought to open our doors and we ought to allow everyone to come in. We are all the Christians are in the church of God. This is the one who says we're all the same. If we are to maintain Hebron, we have to maintain a fellowship which is separated from evil. Not only so, but there is this other one. Free. How often we hear the comment made that we're not under law, but we're under grace. How true it is. Even the devil himself, when he was tempting the Lord Jesus, he could quote scripture. And how people can quote scripture and say, we're not under law, we're under grace. Why do we bother to obey these rules and these things that we read about in the Bible? Dear friends, if it's in the Bible, I'm going to obey them. And this is what we have to follow. And then there's this one called, whose name means bold. How often we see that they are very bold and prepared to stand on their own account without standing on the authority of the Word of God. If we are to occupy the place of Hebron, we have to make sure that we remove any sons of Anak. We find that these were those that needed to be removed from Colossae, where we find there the philosophies and all the deceit that man had brought in. We need to remove them. But you know, just to finish and not to quote the scriptures which are there, we find that this place, Hebron, becomes a city of refuge. It becomes the city of the priest. And you know, when we read in, is it 1 Kings, David reigned 7 years in Hebron. The one who is going to fulfill everything that God had in his mind in a past eternity, not only as the priest, but as the king, is our beloved Saviour, the Lord Jesus. I trust, dear friends, that myself and every one of us here will seek to live in this seed, in fellowship with the Father and with the Son. The Lord Jesus said, except ye abide in me, there will be no fruit. It is only as we abide in him that there will be fruit for God.